Welcome to episode 238 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your very much more rested host. Today we'll read two chapters from 1 Corinthians. The first, chapter 10, is pretty straightforward. The second, chapter 11, offers a bit of controversy in today's culture. We'll see if we can tackle the controversy without stepping on too many toes. Our Bible translation this week is the Common English Bible. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be sure of the fact that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all went through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. However, God was unhappy with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. These things were examples for us, so we don't crave evil things like they did. Don't worship false gods like some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they got up to play. Let's not practice sexual immorality like some of them did, and 23,000 died in one day. Let's not test Christ like some of them did, and were killed by the snakes. Let's not grumble like some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and were written as a warning for us to whom the end of time has come. So those who think they're standing need to watch out, or else they may fall. No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people. But God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it. So then, my dear friends, run away from the worship of false gods. I'm talking to you like you are sensible people. Think about what I'm saying. Isn't the cup of blessing that we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Isn't the loaf of bread that we break a sharing of the body of Christ? Since there is one loaf of bread, we who are many are one body, because we all share the one loaf of bread. Look at the people of Israel. Don't those who eat the sacrifices share from the altar? What am I saying then? That food sacrificed to a false god is anything, or that a false god is anything? No, but this kind of sacrifice is sacrificed to demons and not to God. I don't want you to be sharing in demons. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't participate in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or should we make the Lord jealous? We aren't stronger than He is, are we? Everything is permitted, but everything isn't beneficial. Everything is permitted, but everything doesn't build others up. No one should look out for their own advantage, but they should look out for each other. Eat everything that is sold in the marketplace without asking questions about it because of your conscience. The earth and all that is in it belong to the Lord. If an unbeliever invites you to eat with them and you want to go, eat whatever is served without asking questions because of your conscience. But if someone says to you, "This meat was sacrificed in a temple," then don't eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for the sake of conscience. Now, when I say conscience, I don't mean yours, but the other person's. Why should my freedom be judged by someone else's conscience? If I participate with gratitude, why should I be blamed for food I thank God for? So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you should do it all for God's glory. Don't offend either Jews or Greeks, or God's church. This is the same thing that I do. I please everyone in everything I do. I don't look out for my own advantage, but I look out for many people so that they can be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow my example, just like I follow Christ's. I praise you because you remember all my instructions, and you hold on to the traditions exactly as I handed them on to you. Now I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered shames his head. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered disgraces her head. It is the same thing as having her head shaved. If a woman doesn't cover her head, then she should have her hair cut off. If it is disgraceful for a woman to have short hair or to be shaved, then she should keep her head covered. A man shouldn't have his head covered because he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is man's glory. Man didn't have his origin from woman, but woman from man. And man wasn't created for the sake of the woman, but the woman for the sake of the man. Because of this, a woman should have authority over her head because of the angels. However, woman isn't independent from man, and man isn't independent from woman in the Lord. As woman came from man, so also man comes from woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it appropriate for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Doesn't nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? This is because her long hair is given to her for a covering. But if someone wants to argue about this, we don't have such a custom, nor do God's churches. Now, I don't praise you as I give the following instruction, because when you meet together, it does more harm than good. First of all, when you meet together as a church, I hear that there are some divisions among you, and I partly believe it. It's necessary that there are groups among you to make it clear who is genuine. So when you get together in one place, it isn't to eat the Lord's meal. Each of you goes ahead and eats a private meal. One person goes hungry while another is drunk. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you look down on God's churches and humiliate those who have nothing? What can I say to you? Will I praise you? No, I don't praise you in this. I received a tradition from the Lord, which I also handed on to you. On the night on which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." He did the same thing with the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do this to remember me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you broadcast the death of the Lord until he comes. This is why those who eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord inappropriately will be guilty of the Lord's body and blood. Each individual should test himself or herself and eat from the bread and drink from the cup in that way. Those who eat and drink without correctly understanding the body are eating and drinking their own judgment. Because of this, many of you are weak and sick, and quite a few have died. But if we had judged ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. However, we are disciplined by the Lord when we are judged, so that we won't be judged and condemned along with the whole world. For these reasons, my brothers and sisters, when you get together to eat, wait for each other. If some of you are hungry, they should eat at home, so that getting together doesn't lead to judgment. I will give directions about the other things when I come. May God bless the reading of His Word. So, can you guess where the controversy lies? Sure, it's in the discussion about men and women. I think it's most beneficial, before we get into this discussion, that we look at what Paul said near the end of his talk on the subject of men and women. In verse 11, he said, "Woman isn't independent from man, and man isn't independent from woman in the Lord. As woman came from man, so also man comes from woman. But everything comes from God." It looks to me as if Paul is giving equal respect to both sexes in this. Wouldn't you agree? There are other places in his letters where that attitude comes through as well. Some have made the charge that Paul didn't like or respect women. But I don't see that when I take the totality of his writings. The difficulty lies in cultural bias. Today, the women's equality movement that began in earnest in the 1960s tries to make the assertion that there are no differences between men and women. And of course, that's not true. God made us different. He didn't make one better than the other, he just made them different. And this is what Paul is saying in chapter 11. Men and women have different roles. One is not better than the other, but they are different, and that's a good thing. Remember back in Genesis when God said that it was not good for man to be alone, so he made a woman for the man. Men and women complement each other. They complete one another. And then, after God looked at what he had made, he said something that he did not say when he completed the previous elements of creation. At those times, he looked at what he had made and said, "It is good." But when he had finished creating man and woman, he said, it is very good. It's good to remember that neither men nor women are to abuse their positions, just as Jesus did not abuse his position. Jesus, as God, has the right to do as he wishes with his creation. What he chooses to do is to love us. And this is how we should treat each other. So Paul laid out the different roles of the sexes in the Corinthian church. Men had a role, women had a role. He was saying that there should be order in church, not chaos. But what was happening in Corinth was not order, and Paul's answer was that if the sexes adhered to their proper roles, there would be order. And if they treated each other as Jesus treats us, there would be love. Paul will continue with the themes of order in church and love in the next couple of chapters. Stay tuned. What do you think? Write to me and let me know, steve@lifespringmedia.com, or post your comments on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Just look for episode number 238. I'd love to share your thoughts on the show. Let's get a dialogue going. steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.